Good morning, and I'm glad to be here. So there are two parts to my talk. The first is an overview of issues in using semantic organization to improve access to the web and make better use of the information on the web or elsewhere. The web is just one piece of the total information landscape. And then I am going to talk about more substantially, maybe more technically, about some ideas on how to use what you actually may call fuzzless classification as a basis for everything. So let me start with the overview of issues. And many of those issues you will see in papers as they are presented today and tomorrow. So what do I mean by semantics? You could also say structure, you could say meaning. Classification, clearly. Meaningful arrangement of concept in a classification scheme, of pieces of a document, of answers to a query. Using many types of relationship. Who or what needs semantics? Computer systems need semantics. That's the idea of the semantic web, to have information presented in a formal way that reflects semantics, that enables inference, and that gives answers and solutions instead of just 100,000 web pages. But people also need semantics, and that is sort of forgotten when people talk about the semantic web. We need to assist users in creating meaning, in making sense of all the information they find. They need structure for learning. And so those are themes that will go through my talk. We need semantics for finding things. And I guess I like this slogan from UDC, which of course presents a lot of meaning and structure, that seek is to find. And so I put the end result there, finding. But once information is found in whatever form, it needs to be comprehended. And comprehension here I understand very broadly. It could be by a person. It could be by a computer system. And what does it mean for a computer system to comprehend information? It means the computer system can draw inference. It can act on it. Then it is comprehended. Now, you might think of this as a step of first finding, then comprehending. But actually, before either a person or a computer system can look for something, it needs to have some understanding, and there's a cycle in both finding and comprehending require navigation in an information space. And that requires meaningful structure, of which I'll have a number of examples. So first I will talk about representation to assist with query formulation. The most important thing in finding information is to first of all know what you need to find. And people need assistance with that task of clarifying a topic. So here's an example of a structure that would support a user whose task it is to create a drug abuse prevention program. There are a number of approaches to prevent. This user needs an overview of these approaches, systematically arranged, so she understands this problem space and knows where to go in search. I was just going to show this as an example of a structure. So here would be another example. Classify all the articles in the Wikipedia by UDC, and then have a table of contents, just like the Encyclopedia Britannica has a large table of contents. And that would enable users to look through there, and without necessarily having in mind the words for what they're looking for, to find what they're looking for in the classification structure. So I hope to have a little more time and actually give you sort of a sample of that, but I don't. And many of you probably are more familiar with the detail of UDC arrangement than I am, and so you can picture in your mind that table of contents. There's another example of structure to help with topic clarification and to guide search. Two facets for specifying topics in the area of a person's abilities. So this makes it very clear to a searcher that he should specify the area of ability, say vision, and then the degree of ability, perhaps low degree of ability, disabled, to indicate a blind person. Of course, to characterize a person as a whole, it's not, you cannot just say this person is of low degree of ability. You have to always say what. So that same person may, in intelligence, have a very high degree of ability. And You all know facets, many users do not. And facets can provide a very useful guide to a user to analyze a topic, which is why after, I don't know how many years that we know about facets, they finally are getting a hold on the web. The many e-commerce websites particularly that guide their customers finding the right kind of product through a facet scheme for describing the product. Now you may say, but on the web, where do we have facets? There's 5 billion pages. There are not many that are classified using some facet classification. But we can use front-end to assist users. So one technique we might use is elicit a query with a facet-based interface and then have the system design a free text query. You could use a new UDC that is very heavily based on facet to build such a front-end. So the system here, again, is used not to index or classify web pages, because there may be too many of them to do that. But the system is used for helping the user formulate a query in a much better way than just typing into a small text box in Google. Another example I will give here at output, we could arrange in the example here social tagging terms in a meaningful sequence, a meaningful arrangement. So instead of dealing with tag clouds or other, I think, rather imperfect means to show the user what terms were used in tagging, you instead create a structure that the user can browse, and when he sees something they're interested in, it will map from there to all the tags that have been used and find things. I've talked about this mainly from the perspective of people, but computer systems also need a way to ask the right query. For example, if you ask a computer system to assemble all information that can be found about a disease, the computer system needs to know that it should look for pathologic processes, for the body system affected by the disease, for the cause of the disease, it could be another condition or it could be an organism, and for the treatment of disease. So the computer system needs to know that space. Or take a computer system whose task it is to assemble biographies of people. And there are such systems. Given a name, it gives you a structured bibliography, different aspects of the life. In order to do that, the system needs to have that structure in mind. Or the system needs to have term and concept relationships to follow in its search. So information systems that are supposed to collect a bunch of information and then provide a structured answer, they need a structure of the problem space to do that search as well. So comprehension is a question of information representation or knowledge representation. For computer systems, the representation needs to be formal. And for people who have text and images or graphical representation, visualization, it may be quite useful to present the structure of a document or of a classification in a visual form, as long as it's not too complex. Many visualizations actually, I think, have more the effect of demonstrating the programming prowess of the creator than of actually helping users. Often a very simple outline form is the easiest way to understand a classification, and many different ways of mapping trees may be just confusing. But then we need transformations between representations, from text to a formal representation, or from a text to a map that shows the text structure, from a conventional thesaurus display to a concept map. They're all transformations. So just to give one example, there are two representations of the same kind of information. The first is a text that people can read. The next is a formal representation. So there's the relation of causation. High blood pressure is caused by obesity. There is the relation of treatment, the disease, the population, the drug, and how effective it is. So that structure is somewhat complex. It's not a two-way relationship. RDF would have difficulty dealing with it because it only deals with binary relationships. But it's a presentation a computer system could use to answer a question. Computer system could not answer that question without having the information formalized first. And to just show you the problems that arise in what is actually information extraction, going from text to a formal representation. Notice kids is used again, but in a different meaning. So it needs to have real-time immigration. So information extraction is a transformation in presentation from text to a formal representation. It is needed for the semantic web because there's no way to create all the information that's needed in a formal way by people. And there's huge amounts of information in text, so we need to be able to do information extraction. It is also useful for people. When instead of a 20-page document, you have one page with 20 key assertions from this document extracted, it may be useful. But one would then go from the formal representation produced by an information extraction system using text generation to create sentences. And there may be a useful summary. In fact, you may combine sentences from multiple documents on the same topic and then maybe arrange them in UDC order for a systematic multi-document summary. Information extraction needs a lot of the kind of knowledge that is in knowledge organization systems, including UDC and others. This you can probably not read. So this would be an example of mapping out the structure of a text. In this case, an article that reviews attention deficit disorder in children. And so there are different ways in which these paragraphs of text are linked or related to the topic. There's a matching topic relation. This is a symptom. So this is sort of the description of the attention deficit disorder. There are paragraphs that relate to this disease by giving a method or solution in the medical arena treatment, of which there are various therapies. And then there are pieces of text that are linked to a therapy by the relation of evaluation. So they would evaluate the therapy, possibly compare it with other therapies. Or another evaluation, part of the document that describes medical trials. Another piece of text may be related by cause-effect, giving side effects. Or it may be related by comparison to this therapy, namely describing different methods of therapy. So again, this is a structured representation of the text that may ease rapid comprehension. There's another example of easing comprehension through arrangement, and that is to take terms assigned by social tagging to an image, in this case the modern of St. Bartholomew, and you could represent them by one of these tag clouds. They're often represented in such a way that it's even hard to pick out what the terms are, much less having a meaningful arrangement. But here they're arranged by image content. Reference means the basic topic of the image. Elaboration, clear or additional aspects to characterize the image. There are many. Image content, focal, means the sort of just the subject depicted. But there's also would in Panofsky's term be either iconographic or pre-iconographic. But then there's also a theme, general idea conveyed by the image. What in Panofsky's terms would be iconologic. And so martyrdom and mystical experience are themes that are conveyed by the image. There's also peripheral content of the image. There's comparison to other topics that were represented in tags assigned by users. There's cause-effect relationships. What reactions or feelings does the image evoke in the viewer? And social taggers may give terms about that. So the claim is that this kind of arrangement of the tags assigned to an image would give a much clearer view of how the active number of people, this is a pool of tags assigned by multiple views, how they view that image, much clearer than a traditional tag cloud. We could support comprehension by linking to knowledge organization systems. So from a word or phrase in the text, on a click, map to the corresponding concept in the knowledge organization system. Show the definition of the concept. Show the place in the hierarchical structure. Again, using semantics to help comprehension. So far, I've talked about comprehension for a single document. But in learning and sense-making, people need to assemble different pieces of information from many different places and then make sense of them. And again, that requires structure. And such structures can be supplied by knowledge organization systems, maybe represented as a concept map. And people also need tools for manipulating external structure. They may, actually children in school, may learn to draw concept maps for gathering ideas for an essay they're writing. They need tools to easily manipulate that concept map. And maybe they need help in finding concept relationships that go in there. So they actually may look in any classification scheme and their topic and see the top topics laid out, which will help in writing the story. And clearly any scheme that supplies such order in a well-structured form would be helpful. So you could think of UDC as a help to writing essays, not just a help to find things. So what is needed to do a knowledge representation? There need to be rules. I was at one time thinking about talking about representation for systems and talking about representation for people separately, but actually they follow the same principle. So formal representations need logical formalisms. First order logic or subsets thereof, like description logic or extension, existence and second order logic to be more expressive. And there's lots of talk about that on the web. What formalism do you use just to represent classification information? You use OWL, you use knowledge interchange format. So this is a whole big area. But likewise, text to be understood by people needs rules. There's proper syntax, and there are some syntactical constructions that are more easily comprehended than others. And good writers know the difference. We need a broader document structure, document templates that will, say, divide a report of a scientific study into introduction and background and method and results and discussion. It always follows that structure, and it will make it easier to read. Graphical representations and visualizations that are often useful will need rules for design, how to design them well. A layout of information on a web page needs rules of design to have the external structure really reflect very well and convey the underlying conceptual structure. Unfortunately, you see very few good examples of that on the web. So even though there are books on web design that will summarize those rules, people often still don't know how to follow them well. So a computer system cannot deal with information if it is not well represented formally and following the rules. And people cannot deal well with information if there is not a good external structure that represents the semantics of the information. Representation also needs names for entities, names for abstract concepts or classification. And of course, there are many different ways to name concepts. So we have this problem of matching from one classification to the other. I think actually just thinking the hotel I'm staying in, the Babylon, names that problem. And it's a huge area to devise systems of classification and map from one to the other. There are also other types of entities, persons, places, buildings, events, currencies, what is generally known as named entities. And there need to be some sort of way to know for users and for computer systems what entity a given name that occurs either in a text or in a formal representation refers to. And it's not a simple problem at all, even just for people. There's a project called Occam, who sort of tries to assist with that problem of just finding all web pages on the same person, because that requires that the reference to that person be recognized under different names, and that if the same name is used for a different person, the system can figure out it's a different person. So as I said, we have systems of such names, knowledge organization systems, like UDC and the Library of Congress classification, and how do you go from one to the other, the mapping. Representations also need relationships of many different kinds. And I just give one example here, causation. But there are different systems of such relationships, which are also knowledge organization systems, and which also have the problem of mapping between them. So these relationships are used to make statements, connect entity values into statements. There are also relationships that are needed to map text structures or to discern how does a retrieved document or paragraph or statement or image relate to a topic of research. That example about attention deficit disorder I gave you a little while ago would be an example of that. And so for that, we need rhetorical relationships, which are, there are systems of those, but maybe less well developed than for the others. And so I just give you, by way of example, a few of them. Okay, so there is reasoning-based. This means one paragraph provides information needed to infer what is stated in the other. There is comparison, and I'm just picking out some. So it's either one piece of text gives information that can be used for comparison with what's in another piece of text, or If I'm looking at treatment for a disease, comparison would be description of a different treatment and comparing the effectiveness. In historical context, you could compare on many different criteria, different time or different place, different actor, different subject acted upon. Those relationships were developed in the context of looking at a large collection of interviews with Holocaust survivors collected by the Shoah Foundation. And so looking at their stories and compare them, and again, they can be compared along different dimensions, and that's what these different comparison relationships will show. And these relationships will make it possible to arrange a set of stories on a similar topic in a way that makes good sense to the user. So representation needs that kind of relationship. Do you want to find things? And so I'm just mentioning what you all know, we need support for finding. As I discussed earlier, we can support finding just based on text, where there's no indexing at all by front end. But for many situations, it still works better if finding is based on indexing. And on the web, some people have rediscovered indexing, and they call it semantically enriched documents. The structure may be a little more elaborate than what we use by just assigning some index terms. So this would be an example of a semantically enriched document. The title is The Impact of Environment and Social Gradient on Leptospira Infection in Urban Slums. And there's a template that, say, the author could use to indicate what the document is about in a structured way that could be used, A, for improved retrieval, and B, as sort of a structured abstract of the document once it's found, so the user could quickly figure out what's in this document. So this template is the disease being studied, the pathogen, Leptospira, the vector of the disease pathogen, how does the organism get into people in the first place, and the rat is the vector, how many individuals in the study, and there are other things here, the purpose of study and the principal finding. So leptospirosis is shown here in the systematic context of a classification of diseases. The right side here shows a number of other terms assigned to this document. And again, the idea is that maybe authors will do that if they're properly trained. And all those diseases, all those terms come from the infectious disease ontology that is meant to be a standard ontology of concepts connected with disease. I think they have a long way to go to really do good systematization. They probably could learn something from UDC if they knew to look there and how to structure their classification. And so each of these concepts has an identifier, and it is also linked to another such classification, the gene ontology. By the way, many systems called ontology are just classifications, as we're used to. There are some that are more elaborate and have more elaborate relationships, in which case, with some more classification, they get a different name. So this semantic enrichment supports retrieval, and we could talk a whole day about that. It takes many different forms. Explicit document structure, simply arranging the document by itself in a good structure, could be considered semantic enrichment. But then it's tagging the document with concepts and named entities, assign additional concepts that are not occurring or named in the document per se, but that are implied by the document. And one form of semantic enrichment is to assign extracted propositions. So one would use information extraction to find the propositions that are in the document, and then, in addition to storing the text, store those propositions in a formal representation with the text. And so if this is on a web page, the web page could be read by people, and it could be read also by machines. So that's the last point, that information extraction uses such elements of semantic enrichment. To do all this, we need well-structured knowledge organization systems, and we need procedures to develop them, another whole big area on its own. I have talked about just now knowledge organization systems. I've talked about representing documents as a collection of propositions. I've talked about other forms of semantic enrichment, of indexing. So how do we get all these things done, given there are 5 billion documents on the web? Or maybe we're now 10, I don't know. Plus many documents outside the web. I think the good news is that the forces that created this problem all support a solution. There are various approaches to all of these. One, we can use automation. Not perfect, but better than nothing. So we can use automated information extraction, Remember I talked about the idea of producing a tables of contents to Wikipedia following UDC. Nobody would pay for indexing, I don't know how many, there are millions of articles in Wikipedia, to index them all by UDC. But we could build an automated classifier that, based on some sample of Wikipedia articles indexed with UDC, will learn some rules of how to go conclude from the text of the article to the UDC number to assign UDC classes and then produce an outline. We can use automation even to build classification structure, either by clustering a number of articles or by extracting, say, definition information or hierarchy structure information that is stated in document texts. We extract those propositions through information extraction and build a structure. So one piece of automation, the other is collaborative work or what is known as crowdsourcing. So you could conceivably apply this to indexing Wikipedia with UDC. Just don't have somebody give you $5 million and employ 20 people. Instead, have a website that attracts 5,000 volunteers. And each of them will classify some UDC, some Wikipedia articles. And actually, you will organize in such a way that each Wikipedia article is indexed multiple times. And then have some system that will compare the different pieces. And if there's one outlier, one use that UDC number. Even that may be a bit too much if the people are not assisted by computers. So use computer systems to assist people. And I will give an example of that in just 1 minute. And then we'll use web-based systems to collect and integrate all these results from many different sources. And very important, there's a principle of bootstrapping. The more knowledge we have in formal systems, the more information extraction and other automated techniques can accomplish and do it correctly. It takes a huge amount of lexical and classificatory knowledge to support good information extraction. So where do we get it from? The same way I just described. So I give you one example of computer assistance, that's guided tagging. So to leverage all this work that people put in, social tagging, and make the results more useful, we could do some computer assistance. Give them a faceted structure, which helps them to think of different aspects. And one example is you could ask them, what does this image remind you of? And that will give you more tags than just lady and blue, if the picture's of a blue lady. If you look at social tags, many of them are trivial. People do the obvious. Whereas what you really want them to do is a non-obvious under which the image might be found. Another way of helping would be assigning some terms automatically. This is the idea of computer assistance, where you do the rough work automatically and then have a human editor just refine, which will make better use of that human editor's time. This is just a design, not implemented, just an idea how one might assist in tagging. So there's an image, there are various boxes. One is a general box, and then there are facets, image content and style, and one facet should have been named, an interpretation. And the user can, I mean, the idea of this system is that the user can put something into the general box, and the system, based on its knowledge organization behind the scenes, will determine which facet the term belongs to, and then put it in that box, subject to correction by the user. The user thinks it's in the wrong facet, they just tag it someplace else. But it means the user can just type away in the general box if that's what they want to do. If the user wants to more, put his terms directly into a box with a given facet, they can, of course, do that. But you want to give the user freedom and flexibility to do this. What if the user types in a term that has multiple meanings? So they type in blue in the general box. Blue can be the color, or blue can be a mood, or blue actually can mean big blue IBM, or it can mean a group of soldiers in the Civil War. So this system would be able to access this knowledge base to find the multiple meanings of blue and show them to the user to select. The system could also be used to show the tagger the hierarchical context of the term that just entered and to encourage them to see whether actually a more specific term would be needed. So this is the piece of guided tagging that, again, would make better use, I think, of the time that the taggers put in. There are questions, would people accept this? Is the whole idea of social tagging that there are no rules, and if you make rules, then you drive people away from it? I think that's all a question of how well that an interface is developed. If you have that general box, a social tagger actually doesn't need to worry about anything else. They can just type it in there, and if they don't want to be bothered looking at the facets, they don't. No. If you had a facet-guided tagging system without a general box, then you would force the tag into using the structure, and that some of them may like and some of them may not. So semantic support should always come with a great deal of flexibility. This actually ends the first piece of the talk, which took a little longer than I thought, but I will take about 10 minutes just to give you the beginning of the second half. So semantic analysis is the basis for everything, including mapping from one system to another, including the front-end facet-based system. Remember I talked about a system for facet-guided search via front-end to free text? Such a system needs a lot of well-structured knowledge. And so I'm going to talk about how to do that. First here is the idea as applied to mapping in a nutshell. It's mapping through a hub, what some people call a spine, but actually I think a hub that switches from one system to another. The hub is a more apt term for that. There are systems that use DUI as a spine. There are systems that you could maybe use UDC for a spine, but any one of them would be too limited in what can be expressed. What's in the hub needs to be, or the system in the hub itself needs to be able to express precisely any concept from any participating scheme. And so what's in the hub here is a system that allows to form concept by combination. So a port is a traffic station for water transport. You see, that's, I think Van der Praden wrote this article about the facets of the basis for everything. It was not the exact title. But this representation is a formal representation of concepts that just goes a little bit beyond using just facets. So if you look at the bottom, so there's traffic station, water transport, is a concept represented as this combination. And in the Library of Congress subject headings, this refers to Horbus. In the German Schlagwort Normdatei, this would be Hafen. Now the example here is from DUI to LTS-8. In DUI, there is no class for harbor, the broad concept. There's a class for inland water ports, and there's a class for ocean ports. The representation of the concept in the hub makes that very clear. So once inland water transportation ports from DUI is expressed as traffic station and inland water transport, and ports, which in DUI means ocean ports, is expressed as traffic station and ocean transport, the relationship of each of these two concepts to traffic station and water transport is clear from the expression. So if you use description logic to do that, the whole purpose of description logic is to compute relationships among concepts once the concepts are expressed by description logic formulas. And what I have here, this plain concept combination we're all familiar with, is sort of the very simplest way of constructing a description logic formula. So this is the outline of the second part of the talk. We want to get interoperability, achieve semantic interoperability among systems. It's achieved through this concept hub. But of course, we have a big problem. How do we get all these description logic formulas? How do you take the 500,000 classes in the Library of Congress classification and derive the formulas? I will talk about that. And then the resulting knowledge base, what does it look like? So we want to improve semantic-based search. That's sort of the overall theme. I haven't mentioned multiple languages before, but if it's sort of implied by what I talked about in representation earlier. So this system inside the hub needs to support mapping. It needs to support facet-based search for any kind of system. We could use the hub system for indexing. So we could have a facet classification and system people use it for indexing. But that's not going to happen for many places. So we should be able to use it for front ends, for either a free text system or for a system based on social tagging, which essentially is the same as free text search. Could be used for assistance in cataloging. So one sort of fantasy here is that if you had this system, somebody could upload their knowledge organization system in any language and get back mappings to any other system, knowledge organization system, that's included in the hub. So if we had constructed a hub based on Dewey and Library of Congress classification and various Library of Congress various subject heading lists, should be able to upload UDC and get mappings from UDC to Library of Congress. Some ways to get there, but that's the ultimate goal. This slide just summarizes what the first picture showed. So as formulas, you could also call them a canonical representation of concepts. We saw that picture. So how do we get those description logic formulas? Apply existing knowledge. Use the structure of a knowledge organization system. If we have the description logic formula for a broad concept, we already know something about what to do with the concepts below it. Linguistic analysis can go a long way often to do conceptual analysis. And whatever description logic formulas we produce automatically, we should check by an editor. Well, sometimes they need to be checked by an editor, sometimes not. And the system should know which is which. So what we need for this clearly is a faster classification of atomic concepts from which all the description logic formulas are built. So one of the results of an effort along the lines I'm describing would be this universal faster classification we have all been waiting for a long time. You would start this from sources where there are good facets. UDC is sort of getting toward the aim, but it's not going to be as complete and detailed as is needed. But it's one important source to see such a system. There is the alcohol and other drug thesaurus, which I worked on. It has, I think, a good facet structure. The other architecture thesaurus has a reasonably good facet structure. So we could use all of those to see the hub system. We need linguistic knowledge bases, such as WorldNet. Many knowledge organization systems that have a lot of knowledge that can be imported into the system with computer assistance, as I will show in a minute. And then in the end, we will have one large multilingual knowledge base, but concepts and terms that will include concepts from many different sources that will have developed over time the universal faceted classification inside the hub and link all these various systems. Just an example of how this might work, of course, a toy example. There's a classification of atomic concepts in transportation. So in transportation itself, there are two facets, traffic system components and mode of transportation. And there are other pieces here. So in the Library of Congress classification, we have HE 550, ports, harbors, docks, wharves, etc. You have to know that HE transportation is actually civilian transportation. If it is military, it's in another Library of Congress class. So expressing HE in a description logic formula requires a human editor who knows the classification very well. Now we come to the next piece. For HE 550, it inherits from its border class the two, what you might call semantic factors. The editor adds traffic station and water transport. That's intellectual. A linguistic analysis will not show you that ports or harbor is composed of those two components. And so the final result is the description logic formula is traffic stations for water transport, civilian. Airport buildings is similar. So in the database, we assume somebody already dealt with airport from whatever source. And so it can look up airport and find its traffic station and air transport. Buildings is added by linguistic analysis. It's easy. That class label expresses the conceptual combination. The editor checks it and says, wait a minute, military airport buildings will be under U or V. So I have to add civilian. And so the final formula is in the bottom. Airport soundproofing. Airplanes is supposed to be known already. Somebody dealt with it earlier. Vehicles and transport, air transport. Soundproofing is added by linguistic analysis. The editor says it's fine. Aeroplanes, the different spelling of airplanes, so we can deal with it easily automatically. So there are many classes in the LC classification, like airport buildings Egypt, and there are 4 pages worth of country names. Those can all be dealt with completely automatically, and no editor checking is needed. Okay, there's no problem. So here is a knowledge base of LC classes with their description logic formulas. Subject headings, we said description logic formulas, and we can now map between LCC and LCSH. When the description logic formulas are the same, the things map. ship soundproofing is an LCS-8 but has no equivalent in LCC, and the reverse is true as well. It would be a little bit more difficult to actually then find, but we could see whether ship soundproofing has a broader formula which has a correspondence in LCC, which would say mapping from LCS-8 to LCC, the classification doesn't have the exact concept but a broader concept. And we can use this to map user queries for either free text or the results of facet-guided search or formulating a search through a control term from a knowledge organization system. We would go through the hub where we find the canonical form of the query, the query topic expressed as a description logic formula, and from that the system could produce a final query, either a free text query, which would be much enriched from what the user initially typed in, so it would do a much better free text search, or if the user wants to search in a collection that was indexed, say with UDC, it would find the appropriate UDC class under which to look, say from the user's free text input. Well, this is just one example, vehicles and soundproofing, and you get a number of classes and subject headings based on their description logic formulas. And with this, I will stop because the time is up.
I think we'll just have a time for one short question.
It's more remark. For me, it's great, but I'm not sure as an expert citizen in both sides of the country.
Well, that may have been a problem with the systems they were using, that it was not able to use the additional knowledge properly. But so you need to improve the algorithm that process the knowledge to actually make use of it. But as another example, I mean, what I just showed, once airplane is expressed as a description logic formula, and that needs intellectual effort to say it's vehicle in air transport, or once port is expressed through a description formula as traffic station, water transport, then any term label that includes aeroplane, that includes harbor, together with other terms that will, or words that name other components of a compound concept, the system can deal with those and at least make a suggestion automatically, much better than before it knew that airplane is vehicle and air transportation. So that's what I meant by bootstrapping in that example. But also information extraction needs a lot and lot of knowledge, huge amount of knowledge. And to build it up, like Psyche, that Psyche project, some of you are familiar with, tried to build up over 20 years a store of common sense knowledge, and they're not anywhere near the end. So, but what they have now could be used to have improved information extraction and increase the speed of acquisition of knowledge significantly, because more can be acquired automatically than could be at the very beginning when everything had to be done by human editors.
I think we'll have...
Yep.
Thank you very much again, Professor Zirgel. And